All right, hey, welcome to the Infest Podcast. This is episode 90. We're talking Star Wars this week, and we have two special guests. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And we are welcoming to the show, welcoming back,
yeah,
Joe Caroni, who you can pop back a few episodes ago. He was just on. He was amazing. And this time we have his partner in crime, if you will.
Yeah.
Brian Miller from Hi-Fi Colors.
Hi-Fi Color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're sharing, you know, all sorts of great Star Wars stuff. We're talking about Star Wars Celebration, where you can find them, where you can find them online, and all about their special prints that are exclusive to Celebration.
Yeah.
Where you can order now and pick it up when you're at the show if you will be in Orlando.
And we get a little bit more story.
Yeah, we get
in a little bit of art talk. So.
There's art talk. There's talk of multicolored Wookiees. There is,
awesome stories.
There's a story about Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher herself.
Yeah.
Which was, man, I couldn't imagine that happening.
Yeah, and, it's an awesome story.
It is a great story. So you guys sit back, relax. Listen to us talk to Joe and Brian. Mainly listen to Joe and Brian because we loved this interview.
I think at certain times I was slack-jawed.
There were times they were talking about stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, yep. I can't believe I'm hearing this. This is so cool. All right. Anything?
Enjoy.
We're talking Star Wars with Brian Miller and returning guest Joe Caroni. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And hey, Joe, can you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. This is Joe Caroni, Star Wars artist for Lucasfilm and Disney.
All right. And Brian, can you introduce yourself, please?
Brian Miller, also a Star Wars artist. Worked for Lucasfilm, Disney, Acme Archives, and Joe's Padawan Learner. So always hanging out with him.
All right. So now that you guys have heard all those voices, just quickly, you should really know who each person is as we go through.
I would hope that if they've been listening to us, they should know who we are at least.
So, all right. So we have you guys on because one, you both have amazing prints that are up for sale in Celebration, and then we're going to talk about Celebration, your artwork, and Brian, we want to know more about you. We already had an hour and a half with Joe, so.
I'm yesterday's news.
I still love you, Joe. I still love you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, Joe, we're still going to
give you a free print and date next week.
Look at that.
All right, I'm going to Gym City now. I was going to say, Joe, we'll take you for beers at the expo.
That's this Saturday, isn't it? So. Saturday and Sunday. But, you know, by the time people are listening to this, it'll have gone past. So. A little bit of the time travel effect.
All right. So, yeah, if you don't remember, go back and listen to Joe's episode. It's amazing. I think there's a couple times where Johnny and I don't say a word for like 20 minutes at a time because we were just so enthralled with Joe. But, Brian, how did you get into art and specifically Star Wars?
Well, I got into artwork right after high school. I fell in with some people who were making comics, and I was doing some like paint and color on their work. And as these things happened, they got older and got married and had kids and got real jobs. And for some reason, I never grew up. I stayed Peter Pan boy working in comics. And so one year at Mid-Ohio Con, I met Joe. And he had a little table set up, and he was doing Star Wars art, and we hit it off. But we were like friends ever since then. But it was probably, I don't know if it was like 5 years, 10 years before we actually worked together.
Wow.
So yeah, we sort of had our.
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah.
It was a while, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was a while.
We had our independent careers going on in comics and illustration. And then finally, we decided to cross lightsabers and start doing some work together. And so we got to do some stuff for like Star Wars Insider and. Topps cards and some comics, and it was always comic book covers and stuff like that. It was always really fun, so it was always Joe's illustrations, and then I would do the paint and color. So it was really a good learning experience for me because I've been working on a lot of other comics, but with Joe, since we were friends, I could really talk to him. He could break down his process for me and, you know, share with me his insights in Star Wars. And that's when I really learned how big of a Star Wars fan Joe really is, and how he has this like amazing memory for everything Star Wars. And we would go to a convention and he'd see a t-shirt and he'd be like, "Oh, that stormtrooper's not holding the right blaster. I can't believe that got approved."
Nice.
And I would half think he was joking, and then I'd find out like they're like, "Oh no, yeah, we know that. Someone else told us that. We don't know how that happened." And you know, he just knew he was like a walking Star Wars encyclopedia. And so I really just tried to learn everything I could from him. And graciously, one time Joe recommended to Lucasfilm that they give me a shot to do some of my own illustrations. He was familiar with my non-Star Wars work and said, "Hey, you guys should really take a look at what Brian's doing." And so that was several years ago now. And since then, I've been really fortunate to attend a couple of Star Wars celebrations with Joe and work with him, but also have some of my own artwork for sale. So it's been a really fun time learning from the Jedi Master.
That's awesome. Now, are you from Ohio originally, or?
No, I'm originally from Kansas City.
Okay.
Like I said, those kind of like post high school, early college years, I was all over the Midwest comic convention. So nice. I'd see him at Chicago Con every year, cool. And at Ohio Con, and sometimes he'd come down for Kansas City Con and those kind of things. And then I don't know if we ended up started going to like San Diego Cons around the same time or not, but I eventually moved out west to Phoenix, and then so we'd always see Joe and I see each other at like San Diego Con and WonderCon and all the West Coast shows. So it's one of those friendships where, you know, we're probably on email once a week or something like that, but you know, we only see each other in person at these conventions, but it just seems like, you know, the person you just saw, "Oh, I just saw you yesterday." You're like, "Oh no, that was 9 months ago."
Yeah.
I have that with Johnny, except I see him every week.
Yeah, you see me every week, but otherwise I stay away from you.
we don't hang out much anymore. So that's awesome, and you know, it's Joe passing it on, getting more people involved. That's great.
Yeah, for me,
you know how he is. He's an ambassador.
That's very true. I agree with that. The Star Wars thing. He's an ambassador.
I kind of like, in some ways, I view a lot of us Star Wars artists, not just myself, but you know, guys like Brian and some of my other friends who do Star Wars art for a living. In a weird way, we kind of are ambassadors to Star Wars for the fans, because we get to work on these official products and these official projects and books and games and magazines and comics and stuff. So, I mean, we don't work at Lucasfilm, but we work with these people. But at the same time, we're all working from home. We're all going to Comic-Con. So we're kind of more available and more accessible.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to a degree. So we're guys like me and Brian, you know, like we kind of keep the Star Wars. I mean, not that Star Wars really, they don't need us, you know, necessarily. But we kind of can go to these shows and keep fans, you know, kind of excited and hyped about Star Wars through our artwork.
I actually think
so.
I would argue that there was definitely a time where they needed you guys for sure. you know, the dark age between Jedi and Episode II, and then
there was the period in, you know, in the 90s when Heir to the Empire and those books came out, where it was like you started to see a resurgence. But the artists, the comic book artists that had worked on the Marvel book, and, you know, the artists that were doing their own, like, independent authorized art, were the way that things were still coming out. The 90s was the Star Wars Galaxy, the Topps set was coming out with all the different artists doing stuff in that. And, I mean, you know, I think Topps was really a good way for Star Wars to be kept alive, because they were still doing sets, even though there weren't movies, because they were doing having all these different artists come out. And that's where a lot of, like, where Joe and Brian came in to the business is because of Topps, I would say, more than anything.
Well, for me, well, I mean, to a certain degree, yeah. I mean, Topps was definitely early on in my career.
West End Games, probably, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me and Brian, it definitely was Topps was sort of one of those earlier licenses that got us in. But for me, it was Weston Games almost like, almost 10 years before that. Even.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When I started doing, back in like 96, because I didn't get involved with Topps until 2004.
Okay.
Or 2005, almost, actually. So for me, that's when, and then shortly thereafter, I think that's when I brought Brian with me, and he was coloring a lot of my trading card work for Topps at that time. But
yeah,
it's a similar idea what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
I think Topps, the best thing about Topps was Topps had a huge fan follower, still has a huge fan following, and so
yeah,
for someone like myself, who most people who knew my art maybe knew it through a Booster Gold or X-Men or something like that, but not Star Wars. And so with Topps, I was suddenly connected to an entirely new fan base that I was new to them and they were new to me. And that's when I really started to realize the power of Star Wars is the fans. I mean, you know, Joe can attest, we've been going to all these comic book conventions for years and years, but when you go to Star Wars Celebration, there's just something special about it. And it's the fans, it's their love of Star Wars. They're excited for everything new that's happening. They want to share their toy collection with you and their costume with you and the last book they read with you and their thoughts on the film with you. So it's a really interesting relationship compared to some other sorts of fandom where everyone's really like super positive and excited. And I think the fans are what, I don't know how you feel about it, Joe, but for me, it's like what makes Celebration kind of one of the most exciting aspects of, you know, we get to see people that we only see at Celebration and hear their stories and catch up with them. And they might pull out a sketch card or a training card that's, you know, 5 or 10 years old that they've been carrying around just waiting till the day they got to meet us to have us autographed or something. So it's a really special connection that doesn't always happen.
That's awesome.
I think Celebration, what makes it more special than the typical Comic-Con is because with Star Wars Celebration, it's definitely it's a more defined audience. That's definitely, and Star Wars is the hugest, you know, the biggest property in the world. So the fans are going to be even that much more passionate about it. I think when you go to when we go to regular Comic-Con, they're fun. Most Comic-Cons are great experiences for us, but those are more generalized because you got everything from superheroes to sci-fi to horror to fantasy. So they tend to be, the usual Comic-Con is a pop culture event that kind of covers the spectrum. But then when we go to Celebration, it's almost like all that passion is distilled just, you know, so you get like the best of the best of Star Wars fans. I mean, you get all that positivity and all that energy and all that excitement just for Star Wars, and it's such a focused event. It's, you know, it's the biggest Star Wars party in the world, really. So it's like going to this huge party, and you know, everyone's like there for the same, you know, for the exact same reason. And I think that's what makes it like just that much more accessible and intimate than maybe like a typical Comic-Con, for example.
Yeah, I've been to one Celebration, and it was probably a very big different like experience than going to regular Comic-Cons. I mean, I've been to a lot of Comic-Cons, but I've only been to one Celebration, and it's still, I think it was the third one, and it's still like a very memorable experience.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was in Indianapolis.
Well, that was the one, really good, I think, where I first seen your art, because it was the cover of the program book.
Right. Yeah. I did the official convention poster and program cover art.
Yeah, and I remember like
Celebration 3.
Seeing that book and going, I know this art because I've seen it before, because obviously you had been doing stuff for Insider and that for, you know, a while before that convention. And I was like, I know this guy. And I'm like, okay. So I think my next major exposure was I pulled one of your sketch cards from a top set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I pulled a Yoda sketch card from a set. And I'm like, then I started like seeing, like I found your website and all that type of stuff. And it's like, it's really cool that Star Wars, you know, brings people together like that.
You've been stalking me for that long.
I was about to say he's been stalking me for a long time.
I thought we only knew each other for like the last 5 years.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I think the first.
How long have we known each other personally?
It's at least seven years now.
Okay. Do you want to count all your garbage cans he went through and he has in totes in his basement?
The first time I actually met you was at Motor City. That was the first time where I was like, I had decided, I'd never been to Motor City before, and I had decided to go there. And then I seen you on the list, and I'm like, oh, I got to go meet this guy. And there's like a picture of us that's probably one of the most uncomfortable looking pictures of the two of us. And I'm like, I look at that picture now and I'm like, well, now we're kind of like acquaintance / friends.
Well, it's because
in that picture, it's like, ooh, we just look really awkward.
Because you had his water bill sticking out of your back pocket.
Well, you know. Canceled checks. It's been a very profitable friendship for Joe.
Well, Johnny's my biggest fan. He buys all my stuff.
Well, almost, yeah.
So you guys both like approach this like from a really cool angle for me, because I love like the propaganda posters and that kind of stuff. Like Joe, I have one of the many ones of yours sitting on my desk at work. Then anytime anyone comes up and starts bothering me, I just turn around because it says Conquer. I'm like, go away.
Oh, right.
And, but yeah, Brian, you have the same thing where you've got some of these great like propaganda type things. Can you guys delve a little more into what goes into that, what you view as, or like how much direction you guys get as far as like what you need to do with that, or how much leeway you have? Because like I said, I find those things personally awesome and they're fun, and I love the Empire, so it's always cool to see.
Do you want to go first, Joe?
No, you go ahead. I think he's asking you basically
what
kind of parameters we have.
Sure. I think, you know, I'm super influenced by everything from the past. So, you know, whether it's propaganda or vintage travel posters or even further back in time, like Art Nouveau and things like that. And I don't know, it's just all that retro and vintage stuff appeals to me. So I try to distill some of that influence and let it kind of inform my Star Wars artwork, or try to bring the Star Wars characters into that realm a little bit, and hopefully in a way that makes sense. So a lot of my ideas are sort of, my concepts will start from that kind of place. You know, it may be instead of just doing a poster about Luke Skywalker, maybe I turn it into something that's a feature on Tatooine, or, you know, that kind of thing. So or like you said, propaganda, you know, instead of just Captain Phasma, I get some inspiration from maybe some like Soviet era propaganda, and then work Captain Phasma and some stormtroopers in there. So my ideas are always a little off the wall that way. So when it comes to the parameters, what I try to focus on are sort of like either stories between the stories that we've already seen, or connecting dots between things, but not necessarily the way we've seen them on screen. I try to do that with most of my artwork, and I just kind of pitch ideas to my art directors at either Dark Ink Art or Acme or directly at Lucasfilm or whichever, you know, people that I'm working with that day. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll come back and say, yeah, go for it. And let's see take that to a more finished stage so we can sort of see what you're thinking. But occasionally there's the idea where, you know, they might say, well, that could spoil something that's coming up in a film, or maybe we don't want those two characters together, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much rules as in if I come up with something that could maybe either be spoilery or that's, you know, just a little bit too crazy, they might just say, well, we like these two, but this other one, maybe hold on to that for a year and come back and talk to us later.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So, you know, luckily everyone's been really nice and let me play in the sandbox, which I know is an honor and a privilege. But they've also been really good about just sort of letting me come up with concepts and ideas and not really trying to put me into a box and, and say, well, would you draw this, please? I think really the only example of that would be maybe like, you know, if we have a new film that's coming up. So say like we've got The Last Jedi that's coming up, and we haven't really been shown too much of that yet.
Right.
So even if Lucasfilm were to give Joe or I some behind the scenes access, that doesn't mean that we could just go crazy with it, because a lot of the information is not public yet. So, mm-hmm. you know, I may only be able to draw like a character or a ship in a certain way until after the next movie comes out, because they don't want to have any story elements even hinted at. So there's like little things like that, but for the most part, as long as the idea is creative and the image looks cool, it's okay if I take some of my own liberties with it, as long as the reference is true. I think Joe could speak to this even more, because he's the Star Wars encyclopedia. But you know, if it's you know, like Boba Fett, for an example, I'm working on something with Boba Fett right now, and you know, there's Empire Strikes Back Boba Fett, and there's Return of the Jedi Boba Fett, and there's differences and nuances. And so, you know, I have to make decisions based on what's going to make the most sense within canon of this illustration, how it works into the storylines and how it fits into the films and how it fits into everything that's established. So it's really cool to get to play with all these characters and ships and planets that we are in love with, but it also has to fit within the constraints and the rules and the parameters that have already been set down. So it's sort of like, it's like you're one piece, you know, on in this puzzle, and you have to figure out how do I fit into the big picture here without disrupting it.
All right, cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we were looking at your Octopolis website, and the posters that you have on there are so awesome. I love the Crush the Rebellion one with all the AT-ATs. So.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was like one of the first things that I did right after Joe sort of, he pretty much like, you know, put the blaster to someone's head and said, let Brian draw something.
Wait, which blaster was he using? Was he using the correct one for a Joe Caroni, or was it like a misdrawn blaster?
That's not the one that comes with the Joe Caroni action figure.
That's right. It was episode 6 Joe Caroni blaster.
The L-44 Greedo killer blaster. Yeah.
Joe shot first.
Aren't you a little short to be a Joe Caroni? sorry, it's, Joe. It's, we just had to go there.
Oh, that's fine.
And now I know what my cosplay is going to be.
I was going to add something because...
Yeah.
Going back to the propaganda art, how I kind of basically got my foray into that. It's funny because it was back for Celebration Europe in 2007, which was going to be in 2007 that summer in London, and I was invited to be a guest artist. So earlier. In 2006, it would have been fall winter of 2006. Lucasfilm asked me to come up with some poster ideas for the event, and something like a unique concept. And I don't know where I got the idea exactly. All I know is, prior to this, I don't ever recall seeing any Star Wars propaganda art. So I remember at the time, this would have been like fall of 2006. I'm like, I need to come up with some Star Wars art that would be kind of like maybe European influenced, or it would have some kind of European feel to it, so that I could, like, these were going to be posters that they were going to sell in the Celebration art store for Celebration London. And so I don't know, this sounds so cocky, but like, not that I invented the idea of Star Wars propaganda, but I'm pretty sure I'm one of the first artists to actually like do this. So I pitched the idea to Lucasfilm, and I was like, how do you guys feel about like Star Wars propaganda art? Like, what if I took these communist posters from and like these old World War II posters, and what if I gave them like a more positive spin and put like a Star Wars style on them. And they were like, yeah, that's a really cool idea. So then I did the first three pieces, which was Unite, Together, and Celebrate. Mm-hmm. And so I did those three for Celebration. And then it turned out that there wasn't, they didn't have the budget for the Celebration store to produce these as posters. So the project ended up getting basically shelved, and these posters never came out. So then basically fast forward to about a year later, and Topps had invited me to contribute some base cards for their Star Wars set. And I had this artwork that I had done with Brian. And I think all I had was a line art that I had submitted to Lucasfilm at this point for Celebration. And then the project got killed. So then when Topps came and said, hey, do you have some ideas for some trading cards? I said, well, what about this propaganda art I created? And then I hooked up with Brian so that he would color them. And then that was the first Star Wars propaganda art that I had done, but I'm pretty sure it was some of the very earliest, if not first, Star Wars propaganda art, at least that had been that was official, was actually licensed through Lucasfilm. So it goes way back to like 2006 when I felt like I invented this concept, but I just remember having this idea like, oh, well, they're going to have Star Wars in London and it's going to be European, and I'm going to base all my artwork off these European propaganda, World War II and mm-hmm. Russian communist posters. And that's where it came from for me. And that's how it started with me. But I don't really remember seeing any other propaganda art before then. So
no, I think you're right, Joe. And I remember those times, and it's so crazy how much things have changed over just like the last 10 years. And, you know, we'd be remiss. And there's the whole book. I mean, Pablo Hidalgo's got the Star Wars propaganda book. And I know that Joe illustrated several new pieces for it. I illustrated some new stuff for it. And so did some other Lucasfilm artists. So it is interesting in how it sort of went from something that was left field or oddball or not done at all to now it's really been embraced as part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, it really is. Like, because to me, it made sense. Like, well, you've got Star Wars, which is, it's about wars, but Star Wars always reflects what's happening in our real world, you know. And I thought, well, if Star Wars is going to have these, you know, all these wars all over the place, wouldn't there be like posters and advertisements and you know, similar to what we had during our times of world wars. And I don't know. I remember kind of thinking that this was a really cool concept. And now it's like, here we are like 10 or 11 years later. And it's like, there's so much Star Wars propaganda art. Mm-hmm. Like
there's a book.
Everyone.
So much. There's a book.
Yeah, there's a book that me and Brian actually just illustrated. So,
think like that kind of inspired, Satine too. I mean, the Satine character on Rebels is a lot of propaganda painting, and that's what she does.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm
Joe.
Not going to take credit for any of that. But.
No, don't. I would say that you inspired it more than like, you know, taking credit for it. I mean,
well, I'm sure there were other propaganda art out there for other things.
Right.
I don't recall seeing any for Star Wars back in 2006, but. And the only other artist I could think of is maybe Russell Walks may have, who's a Star Wars artist, he might have done some Star Wars propaganda art around the same time, but I'm not sure about that. And I don't recall anything from him then, but there might have been other propaganda art that I had gotten the idea from, like, oh, there's some propaganda art for another movie franchise or something.
Right.
And,
yeah.
That may have inspired me, but yeah, it's just really, it's really cool and interesting how this, it's such a cool style to work in, because it's different from like, I usually work very realistically, and even my comic book work has a realistic edge to it. Mm-hmm. So then when I work on propaganda art, I can.
For me, part of the fun of it is the duality. I think, you know, some of my illustrations, like Remember the Death Star with Darth Vader, and some of the other propaganda posters I've done, it's fun to play with that idea of duality, to where you're creating an image that if you're a rebel, you feel one way about it. So if it's an imperial propaganda poster, it should, you know, incite fear and compliance and that sort of thing. But if it's the imperial who's looking at it, it should make them feel patriotic and excited. And so it's kind of fun to juxtapose, where you've got like one image that has to tell one story, but that story has to be told in such a way that depending on which audience it's aimed at, it makes them feel two different ways.
Yeah.
And to me, that, like, creatively, that's a really, really fun thing to get to play with.
Cool.
Yeah, I think for me, the one aspect that I get out of it is enjoyment wise when I'm doing it, are the real world, the real world parallels to like whatever the piece I'm working on. So like if it kind of feels like without like going too far and feeling like too hokey or maybe too grounded in reality, like where it still has that Star Wars edge, but then it kind of like makes you feel, or it kind of straddles that line of like, well, it's kind of funny or quirky or interesting or dynamic or whatever, you know, whatever it's trying to be, but it has like a little bit of that real world familiarity to it, but at the same time it still has that Star Wars flavor, you know. So I like, to me, it's that balance of like, well, I don't want to make it too familiar, but at the same time, you know, you want to make the concept accessible on a relatable level, on a real world level, but not like basically not hitting someone over the head with it, you know. So like that's kind of where I like to kind of, you know, straddle that in the designing and the coloring and the drawing and all that.
Right, because the familiarity of it pulls in people just by seeing like, oh, I think I've seen something like that before, but it's Star Wars.
Or it reminds you of something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, wow, that's really cool. That reminds me of a certain period of history, or maybe a very specific period, or maybe a very specific battle or place or time, but yet it has that Star Wars spin. So it, you know, it's like, wait, that's the Star Wars, but yet it feels familiar. You know, I think Star Wars does that. I mean, that's why we love it so much. I mean, because Star Wars, as unique as it is, it still feels very familiar. You know, the themes, the characters, you know, like it, even though it's outer space and sci-fi, it's like, it's still very relatable because the common themes of good versus evil and all the morals, I mean, all of that is still very much grounded in reality. So I think that's the appeal of doing Star Wars art that kind of pushes boundaries like propaganda art does a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Star Wars is pretty much our modern myth. And that I really feel that, you know, I know they've done studies and books and all that about it, but I really do feel like, you know, in 100 years, that'll be the mythology will be Star Wars.
Or people comic will start books. Wondering like, wait, didn't that really happen?
Did that really?
Star
yeah.
Wars real?
Like, yeah.
What was it that,
there was that. I can't talk to you right now. I have to go to Jedi Temple.
Yeah. Well, isn't like Jedi like, or wasn't it like a legal religion in Australia or something like that for a while?
I think so.
I think in England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like on that show, How I Met Your Mother, they say there's only two kinds of people, the people who watch Star Wars and then the people who were in the Star Wars, you know, and it'll be like that. Like, my grandpa fought in the Star Wars. Wait a second.
I served on Dantooine.
My great grandfather had to walk 5 miles in the snow on Hoth.
Exactly, and still didn't know where he was.
Uphill through Wampa caves both ways.
It wasn't the snow that got him; it was the Wampa.
Daddy, what's a Wampa? Well, son,
do tauntauns really smell badder on the inside than the outside?
My great grandmother put me in a tauntaun once, just once. All right. Now that's so awesome. You know, because the only other like really cool propaganda posters for another like property that I remember really sticking with me, like Joe, like yours, and Brian, like yours, is the ones for Battlestar Galactica a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, as the corners were cut off by QMX.
Yeah.
Those were pretty cool. But yeah, no, that is, I mean, that's so cool. And Joe, I feel 100% confident giving you credit for coming up with it. So, you know, we'll just definitively say that here. Joe Caroni invented the Star Wars propaganda posters.
I think I was just one of the first. I think I was just one of the very first, yeah, if not. Yeah.
Don't question Mr. Caroni. That's all I got to say.
So, I'm just cementing my legendary status.
I'll just be standing by your table from now on, just hitting my fist on my hand.
Well, so here's how we'll know is next season on Rebels, Satine will be wearing a trucker hat while
she's painting stuff.
And it's like, there we go. Thank you, Star Wars story team.
Exactly.
You just proved our point.
Well, he is friends with Pablo, too.
We'll see a character named... we'll have a background character named Co-Gironi, and we'll know it's all true.
Co-Gironi.
There you go.
Co-Gironi.
And then the action figure comes.
No, it'll be a droid. A painting droid. Just anyway. Well, so kind of speaking of like Rebels and you know, Episode 8 and, you know, Rogue One, which is out on digital right now. If you guys haven't bought it, go buy it. What?
I was going to still on the celebration thing.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead if you have more questions.
Yeah, because I got more celebration.
We can
more
jump
celebration
ahead to the other stuff. But yeah.
Right. Joe, how many celebrations have you actually been at now? Did you go to like the first one?
I've been to all of them except the very first one, which was in Denver in 1999.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other one I didn't go to was in Japan in 2008.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you've done all of the Europe and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The three in Europe and all the other U.S. ones.
Yeah, I've lost count of how many there. At this point, there's been a lot.
There's been the 7 U.S. ones, and there's been the 3 Europe ones, and then the 1 in Japan.
Okay. Okay.
That's all of them.
All right.
And then this one in Orlando coming up next month, where me and Brian are going to be guests at. That one's going to be the eighth U.S. celebration.
Okay. So they are kind of keeping up with the count of the movies, but not in a way that you would expect.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, they stopped numbering them, I think, to not create confusion. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Star Wars Celebration now.
Right.
And do you have any interesting stories from Celebration, either of you? Like that, you know, you can tell?
I don't know, Brian, do you have any?
Some of the best things about Celebration are that we get to see the other artists that we work with. So, you know, they're people that we know, but we only see them at maybe like San Diego Comic-Con and Celebration. So it's really fun to, you know, what no one knows is that like when Celebration ends, we'll usually all go out to dinner and swap artwork and swap stories.
Oh, okay.
And that's where
cool.
You hear all the craziness. But I know the best thing is, some of the like the 501st and the Rebel Legion fans that come by. I mean, stuff you never get in any other shows, like people who do the pin trading, the patch trading, where they make their own patches and they'll come by and give them to you or swap them for something.
Oh, wow.
Just because they're into it, as
right.
opposed to like, you know, trying to like sell it or anything like that. So
yeah.
I find that to be really cool. And then Joe has this amazing fan following. So, you know, he'll have fans come from, you know, not just all over the United States, but from Europe and from Australia. And they tend to bring him gifts when they come. So
oh, wow.
For me, I find that highly entertaining. And usually I don't have to like buy any food at Celebration because I can just
nice.
You know, snack on whatever cool stuff they bring Joe, like stroopwafels and candy and mm-hmm. I don't know, homemade pies and whatever. Other
homemade
stuff.
Pies.
It's really
wow.
cool that Joe has this like worldwide network of fans who feel so close to him, and they're so touched by his artwork that they bring like gifts and goodies and stuff to him. All these things.
That's awesome.
We're gonna have to bring Joe like cookies or something next week.
Yeah, you see, that's what we're setting you guys up for. So next week at Gem City, you guys better bring some. I'm expecting a whole fruit basket and.
You've set the gauntlet at this point.
We'll go to the Incredible Edibles people and see if they can make like lightsaber hilts out of fruit for you.
There we
Yeah. The whole store, yeah. A whole Stormtrooper helmet out of fruit would be
there
cool.
There you go. Oh, nice.
Then you too can also be a real Joe Caroni fan at that point.
I was going to say, I don't feel like a real Joe Caroni fan now.
So what is it? Is it the Caroni Nation? Caroni Army? So, you haven't made him a cult.
It's the Caroni crew.
There
you go. Caroni
crew.
Yep.
So.
What have you brought me lately, Johnny? Huh? Tell me.
Money.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you lay at the feet of your Lord and Savior Joe Caroni to get his?
I can't get down on my knees like that anymore. I just come up and go, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, I think you have done that once or twice.
I've done that to you before. Yes,
I've seen him do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, I also think like the cosplayers are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about like
Pink Wookiee at London?
Oh yeah, that was we met that Pink Wookiee. That's a good story.
Pink Wookiee.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've even seen pictures of that.
That sounds like a weird sex act.
Yeah.
The Pink Wookiee.
No.
It's a real thing. The Pink Wookiee is a real thing. I swear to God.
Is that like the Sasquatch on Kashyyyk?
We were in London. Okay. And, well, Brian can tell the story. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, we're in London, and it's a giant Pink Wookiee comes up to the booth, and we're posing for pictures, and the Wookiee has these like really cool like trading pins and stuff that we receive. And then come to find out, when the guy takes the costume head off, it's a friend of a friend of mine who probably lives like less than 5 miles from me.
Oh, wow.
That's even better.
So we had to go all the way to Star Wars Celebration London to meet him.
Wow.
That's crazy. Funny.
That's so cool.
I was hoping you were going to say it was Hayden Christensen. I was like, Hayden came to Celebration as a Pink Wookiee.
No, it was Alec Guinness who had faked his death.
Oh, wow.
So he was still better. Alive running around in London.
Hello there.
Oh, yeah, the story is a little bit anticlimactic, but it was still pretty cool that someone Brian had known.
Yeah,
like,
well, I was gonna say, I think it's
Arizona.
Hilarious that it's someone from Arizona that you knew who you could have just walked down the street and seen their Pink Wookiee costume, but you had to go all the way to London.
And it's kind of like the stories where when we talked to Joe last time, and I was like, "Oh, you were at Mid Ohio Con this year? I was there too." It's like Brian, Joe, and I crossed paths, and we didn't even know it. It's like, you know, okay.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, there's there's always all kinds of
celebrity encounters.
Oh yeah. I mean,
besides Sam Witwer. He comes and bows at your altar too, so
I met Sam at San Diego Comic-Con back in like 2008.
Yeah.
That was before. Actually, that might have been right when he was doing The Force Unleashed for Lucasfilm.
Okay.
But he wasn't, I think he was just getting in the business at that point. And Sam was on, I think he was only at that point doing Dexter. And he did Battlestar Galactica already.
Right.
He'd been on Battlestar. And he was doing the first season of Dexter on Showtime. And I knew he was on Battlestar, but I recognized him from Dexter. So he walks by my table at San Diego Comic Con. I'm like, I know, you're Sam Witwer, you're on Battlestar and Dexter. And he was like, yo, wow, you recognize me from Dexter. So anyway, so yeah, Sam and I ended up like hitting it off way back then. And then now he's all, you know, Star Wars.
He's Mr. Star Wars now.
Clone Wars and Rebels. And yeah. So, and of course, The Force Unleashed. And, and he's done some ADR for the last couple of Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Sam's awesome. At Celebration, I mean, I met Carrie Fisher, which was really cool, and I was able to give her a copy of the Slave Princess artwork
that
Brian did for Celebration Germany. So this would have been 2013.
Cool.
So that was really cool because the Slave Princess artwork is obviously Slave Leia and Fett's in it. It was my print for the show, and one of my buddies who was working security for he was like a handler basically for the celebrities in the signing area, So he was a good friend of mine. So he came over. He had a quick break. He's like, hey, you know, I'm watching Carrie's table, and if you want to swing by and give her a copy of your poster, I'll introduce you to her, you know, as she's leaving, when she's done with the signing. And she's like, he's like, just be ready when you get here, or when I come back. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So he comes running to my table. He's like, oh, he's like almost out of breath because it's across the convention hall. He's like, but she's leaving right now. You got to come right now.
Oh, God.
So I just sign a poster, grab it. I tell someone to watch my table. I run across the convention, and I catch her as she's getting up and leaving her table. And there's thousands of fans in front just taking pictures, and everyone's clapping for her. And my buddy, who was a handler, he brings me all the way up to the front of the crowd and, you know, behind the rope and everything in front of the table. And he introduces me, and I say, hi, you know, Ms. Fisher, I'm a Star Wars artist. I wanted to give you this. And I give her the poster, and she, you know, she unrolls it. She looks at the print, and she's like, oh, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. And then she's basically, she goes, oh, I remember when I used to look like this. And then she, so then, you know, she puts the poster down, and then she reaches up to my face to pull me in to kiss me. And I'm like, all of a sudden everything slows down. Like the entire world becomes slow motion at this point.
So, and are you thinking, is this happening?
I'm like freaking out because all I see out of my peripheral is this giant crowd, this sea of people with cameras, and she's pulling me in to kiss me on the mouth in front of all these people. And I'm like, at the very last second, I chickened out. I'm like, I got a little nervous. I'm like, so I turned my cheek just a little bit, and she got like the corner of my mouth, and like, but she still kissed me. And I was just like, and then she smiled and waved, and she took her poster, and then her and her dog Gary just, you know, walked off with security. And I'm just standing there in front of these like thousands of people. I'm like, I can't even move. I'm like, what just happened? Oh my God. So
that kiss is called the carbon freeze.
The carbon freeze.
Oh, there you go. The carbon freeze.
I was going to say, it's like the, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. It was just,
yeah, I met her once too.
Slow motion. It was crazy.
Sweet lady. She was a sweet lady. That's for sure.
Yeah, she was so awesome.
Yeah.
That was probably my biggest, I guess, maybe celebrity story that I can probably tell on the air.
Yeah.
That doesn't involve alcohol or anything.
All right. We've all been there too. I've been at those conventions.
I won't talk about some of the parties I've been to.
Yeah.
So Brian, when did you make out with Princess Leia?
Well, the biggest thing.
Clearly there's no topping that story. I did have a really nice experience at Celebration Anaheim, where my Remember the Death Star art sold out, and I think the last day someone from Lucasfilm came by and said, oh, we need one for a VIP. Do you have like a hidden one back there? Luckily, Joe and I had held back a few for press. So I signed one and handed over whatever. Didn't really think too much about it. And then like a week after Celebration, I got this really nice care package in the mail from Bad Robot.
What?
So apparently JJ had sent one of his people over there on his behalf to get the poster. And so they sent me a picture of it framed and hanging up in their production office.
Wow.
And then a bunch of like Bad Robot swag and like an Episode 7 hat, you know, long before the film came out and everything. So that's one of those things where like, it's kind of cool because it part of it just was about me being nice and not being like, no, you can't have one. You know, it's like, yeah, that's cool. It's all fine. And then come to find out, you know, who it was for all along. It kind of made it feel special.
That's cool. Yeah. Hey, as long as it wasn't for Greg Grunberg, like it's okay.
Oh, wow. Brian has a thing with Greg Grunberg. So if you guys could do sketches, I want to give him a Christmas present.
I'm going to see him at Indie PopCon in July.
Smack him in the face for me.
You're not a Greg Grunberg fan?
No.
Not at all. He's not at all.
Like, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice man.
What happened to the Lego minifigure? You got that Lego.
I took him apart and put his head in the bag, and yeah. like, you know, switched him out. So, like ever since Felicity, I've had problems with Greg Grunberg. So,
was there anything before Felicity for?
I
Greg
don't think
Grunberg?
So, but so, no, those are great stories. I mean, I think, and you know, like you guys were talking, like Celebration kind of distills everything down, and that's really cool.
It definitely does.
So,
yeah,
I
mean, yeah,
I had a few encounters.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The one Celebration I was at, I volunteered and for the autograph hall. And it was literally just stand there and make sure people don't come this way type thing. And I literally stopped Nine Nob from going to his table.
No.
And I was like, I was so embarrassed.
Way to go, Johnny.
I was so embarrassed because he I didn't see his badge. And I was like, you know, I'm like, sir, you can't go this way. And he's like, oh, he goes, I'm okay. And he pulls his badge out. And I went, oh, my God. I'm like standing there afterwards like that was not a good thing.
You should have gone up to him at the expo this year and told him that story. Hey, remember when I wouldn't let you go to your
table?
I
didn't even think about it. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. But it's like one of those things.
Yeah, you should have seen he was there. That's right.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, I stopped you one time.
That's funny. Oh,
he's like, you were the jerk. All right.
Yeah, you were that guy.
You ruined that Celebration for me, fella.
So, Tamora Morrison was great. Yeah. Like that year, it was right after Attack of the Clones. It was Revenge of the Sith was coming, and Tamora was there, and he was like very boisterous.
Yeah,
and I remember because my friend Rob has the Fetts tattooed on him. Or the clones. And he literally grabbed his arm and like was like, can we get a picture with that? And it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. He was wanting pictures of everything.
Yeah, when Tamora Morrison grabs you. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Just don't argue.
Just go with
it. Just roll with it. Yeah.
Yes, Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now he's been on Spartacus, so it's like, don't argue with Tamora.
Cool. Okay, do you guys know what booths you're at at Celebration? Do you have that level of information to share with people yet?
Joe and I are sharing a booth.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, we're sharing a booth. It's 2810, and it's gonna be really cool. Joe's gonna have a ton of art there and a little bit of art, and I think we're both going to be doing sketch remarks on prints for people who are interested. And if you've got a sketchbook or want some special characters, we can do that as well. And I know Joe will have some special signings. Aren't you going to be doing something at Disney Wonderground as well, Joe?
Yeah, I've got new artwork coming out exclusively through the Disney parks, through their Wonderground Gallery division, which is sort of like the Disney Fine Art division. So if you go to Disneyland in Anaheim or Disney World in Orlando, you'll be able to buy this exclusive Star Wars art. So I created two brand new Rogue One pieces, which will debut at Celebration at Disney World in Orlando. So you'll be able to, if you go to the Star Wars Outpost or if you go to one of the shops in Disney Springs, you'll be able to buy this artwork there. And they're two new Rogue One pieces, which also tie into my Celebration print. Which Ryan and I should probably mention really quick. We did these exclusive prints for Celebration. Mine's a Rogue One print called I Rebel, and I'll be selling that at our booth during Celebration. And we're actually taking pre-orders for our prints right now too. So Brian and I are doing our pre-orders together, and Brian has all that information too.
So, yeah, if anybody who wants to pre-order, you can point your web browser to masterdigitalcolor.com. The first thing you'll see when you get there is a big Star Wars Celebration banner. If you click on that, you'll see all the information about Joe's exclusive print, which, like you said, is a Rogue One print called I Rebel, and then my exclusive print, which is called Star Wars 40 Years of the Force, and it's my love letter to the original release of Star Wars in 1977. Those are exclusive to Celebration, so you can pre-order now and then pick them up at booth 2810 at Star Wars Celebration. And if for some reason you can't make it to Celebration, you can also join a waiting list on that same page, And if for some reason we don't sell out, then any of the prints that are still available, we'll make available. We'll tell everyone on the waiting list that they're there and you can order them.
Yeah, looking at these, I can't imagine they're not going to sell out. They're both amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, there's good odds that they will, but we'd like to make the wait list available so that, you know, just in case, because some of our most hardcore fans can't make it to every celebration. So, you know, it's a catch 22 for Joe and I. We're thrilled when things sell out, but at the same time, we hate to disappoint fans. So, you know, hopefully it'll work itself out.
Now, at some point in the future, are you guys able to sell these like later on down the line, or is this it? Is Celebration the only time these are available?
Well, we're given the option to buy out any leftover stock at a certain cost, as long as we give Lucasfilm their percentage of each of the prints that we buy. So, if we buy out our artwork for that one-time license, then at that point we're allowed to sell them beyond Celebration. So, in the case that we don't sell out, there are, you know, we are allowed to offer these later down the road, and we'll, you know, we might have some limited artist proofs available too in case we do sell out. So for those fans who are on the wait list, there's still a chance that they can actually, you know, pick up one of these. It may not be a numbered edition.
Right.
It might end up being an artist proof possibly, but you know, we want to make that option available for all the fans who aren't able to go, but still want to be able to have our artwork in their collection.
Or say available to the two favorite podcast hosts you guys are currently talking to. Who knows?
Hey, I've got a couple of those artist proofs from different celebrations and that. Yeah.
They're awesome pieces. They're so cool looking. Yeah. You know,
I'm just mad because I don't get to go to Celebration.
Yeah, it's masterdigitalcolor.com. Go check it out. There'll be links. You know, Joe knows this. Brian, we'll link to all your stuff in the show notes and everything, and you know, we'll tweet all the stuff out as well. So, is there any other Celebration stories you guys have? Because I definitely have some like current Star Wars questions for you as well to get your thoughts if you guys have time.
Well, I think part of the fun of Celebration is beyond the art show, they also do some kids programming. So I know a lot of us try to make ourselves available for that. And some years it might be Katie Cook or Spencer Brinkerhoffer III or myself or, you know, whoever's available. So this year I'm going to be teaching a 1-hour class for making your very own papercraft BB-8 droid.
Oh, wow.
So any of the families or kids that want to come out and do that, we'll have some pre-printed BB-8 sheets that kids can color and design their own color scheme however they want BB-8. And then we've got a special technique to cut them out and fasten them together so that his head can move and his body can roll. And that's going to be Saturday. I believe it's 1 to 2 p.m. in the kids' room. So anybody who wants to take a break or have the kids sit down and be quiet for an hour, or bring them on out, and we'll have fun making some BB-8s.
Cool.
Inspiring the next generation of Star Wars artists.
Exactly. So awesome. All right.
Well, that's what we're here for. I mean, especially, you know, before Disney got involved, it was a lot of the artists and writers who were, you know, protecting the legacy of Star Wars for the next generation of fans. And now we're so fortunate to have Disney involved, because if there's one company that knows how to foster a property and keep it alive forever, I think it's them.
Yeah, that's where the 100 years things come in.
Yeah.
100 years from now, when Disney's still in existence and Star Wars is still in existence, we'll question if it was real or not. I'll be there in a droid body.
I think they just heard me roll my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, we're bummed that we can't make it down to Orlando this year, but like, you know,
one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days.
I've been promised now that one day I'll be able to go back down to Celebration. So
cool. All right. So are you guys caught up on Rebels by chance? Star Wars Rebels?
You know, I had every intention of watching the season finale yesterday, and I just got so sidetracked with work.
Okay.
It's still right at the top of my DVR list, so I'm just like, oh, I need to. I did watch you know, the episode with Darth Maul prior to the finale.
So. Twin Sons.
But I need to watch the finale. So I'm like, just that's where I'm at on Rebels.
Brian, did you watch the Maul episode?
Yeah, I've got them on my DVR as well.
Okay. Brian, did you watch the episode with Maul?
No, I haven't seen Twin Suns yet. I've got on the DVR. Like Joe said, I think we're all in Celebration Crunch right now.
Yeah, I was going to say a Celebration mode.
So does
and like night and day, I'm trying to get ready for Celebration plus work on artwork for the next thing. So it's been pretty crazy, but I'm dying to see it.
So what else are you working on, Brian? I mean, what else is on your plate besides Celebration and Star Wars?
I have a propaganda Rogue One piece that's going to debut at Celebration, but it'll debut at Acme Archives and Dark Ink Arts booth, not at our booth.
Okay.
So it'll be available there first. And anyone who's collected my, I did a series of propaganda posters for the original trilogy. So it's the first one's Protect the Empire, the second one's Crush the Rebellion, and the third one is Defend the Death Star. So we have a brand new one in that series for Rogue One that'll debut at Celebration, and then it'll be available to the public on Dark Ink Art's website immediately after Celebration. So like the Monday after. That's going to be really exciting. I'm pretty sure it's going to come right down the wire because I haven't even got to hold them in my hands printed yet. So I'll be signing them for the first time at Celebration. And then I'm working on some other Rogue One stuff and maybe some stuff for another film that hasn't been released yet. So it's we're kind of all in the middle of trying to get everything ready for all the upcoming
another Star Wars
San Diego
film
Comic-Con and maybe so.
You're working on stuff for Han Solo.
it's the secret Greedo bio film.
Yes, I've been waiting for that one.
The Greedo origin story that nobody asked for.
Hammerhead, the true story. What the Hammerhead story would be called?
Nailed it.
I think Joe can attest that, you know, as fans and artists, we're always sort of trying to juggle our love for the original trilogy along with the needs to create art for the new films, which we're excited about too. I mean, since Rogue One's dropped digitally, I've probably watched it 3 or 4 times already, and there's just something new to be seen every time, and that just gets me more and more excited for the artwork that I'm illustrating. And I think, I mean, Joe, you can chime in here and see what you think too, but like for me, if I'm excited and passionate about something and it like feels right when I'm illustrating it, the odds are that same feeling is what the fans will experience. And so I use my instinct as my guide that way, you know? Yeah. I mean,
I've always learned to. Go ahead.
No, I think I'm listening to you. Cause I mean, I know we feel the same way about this. It's like, if it's pulling teeth. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think it definitely comes through in the work. So, I mean, most of the time, we're pretty lucky to work on things that we're fans of or that we're passionate about, especially when it comes to like Star Wars. So, it's hard to not put that enthusiasm, you know, into the project. But even when we have that enthusiasm and then we question some of our aesthetic choices or our design choices, usually if we go with our instincts, it's the same thing for me. Like if I know, like if I'm excited about a particular concept, I know the fans are going to really dig it too, because, you know, Brian and I were brought up as fans, as kids loving, you know, this stuff. And so we are, you know, we're knee deep in it with everyone else, you know, all the other fans who are on the other end of it, the receiving end of this stuff. So, when we're creating it and we know like, oh, this is such a cool idea, you know, or this, oh wow, that turned out really great, you know, and then as long as we trust our instincts and, you know, our fanboy instincts usually things turn out pretty good for the most part.
Yeah, there's stuff that you've done that like sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I think hand in hand with that goes Joe and to a lesser part mine, but Joe and mine's experience with like Star Wars Insider and his illustrating and my coloring stories that I guess are now part of the legends, but we've never been afraid to experiment those, to explore those parts of the Star Wars universe that weren't front and center. So it could be an obscure character, an obscure planet, an obscure part of the storyline, but we know that we're interested in it and that some fans will be interested in it. And so it can be easy or comfortable to do something, another thing with Darth Vader and another thing with Luke Skywalker and another thing with Han Solo. And that's fun. I get excited about that. But when you get that obscure thing that, you know, maybe when you turn in the concept, you're like, oh, we don't know. That's not really super mainstream. And then fans come out to support it and vote with their dollars. I mean, that's really how things work. I mean, if Joe's print sells out and my print sells out, that's basically the fans telling Lucasfilm, we want to see more of this.
Right.
So it's rewarding when you actually love something and you're passionate about it and you take that risk and don't take the easy way. And then it actually, you know, is rewarded by everyone saying, oh man, that's so cool. I love that thing you did. And oh, Joe, that you illustrated that character that had never been seen before. Or, you know, sometimes I know Joe will get to like draw a character for the first time that, you know, came from a book or from a story or something that was never visualized on screen. So that part of it is makes the fanboy in you kind of come alive. And then when you find out, oh, there's thousands and thousands of other fans who feel the same way you do, it's like a shared moment in time.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, like, the ones that stand out in my mind that, you know, Joe, that I've bought from him, actually, are the Vader. I call it the Vader set. Like, in my mind, it's the Vader set where it's Vader floating outside of the TIE fighter, Vader sitting on his throne thinking about Padme, and Vader standing over the remains of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Those three, like, tell stories that, you know, just your imagination runs away with you. And I think
exactly.
That's what the art inspires, like, in me, you know, as a fan, is I like to tell stories in my head that, you know, aren't part of the canon, aren't, you know, part of the legends, even, where it's like, imagine what was going on in his head at this time. And I think that's what's cool about the art, is like, it inspires more story.
And
that,
right. I think that's,
yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Brian and I do, and throughout my career, that's one of my favorite aspects of working on Star Wars, is getting to fill in those blanks in the expanded universe or in the movies, the scenes that happen off screen, like Brian was talking about earlier, about some of his print artwork. What we get to do is sort of come up with ideas, because we think about Star Wars so much, and when we're asked to submit concepts for certain projects, we come up with these, like, well, what would happen, you know, or what did happen in between that scene in Empire or Jedi, you know, that we know something happened there, but we never got to see it. You know, maybe it was referenced in the novel, or maybe
right.
It wasn't referenced in a novel or a comic book.
Or you've seen a deleted scene or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it's something like some of the pieces that you said of mine that you like with Vader in his meditation chamber, just, you know, having guilt and remorse over, you know, killing his wife, Padme.
Right.
You know, that was a concept that I decided, like, I came up with because I wanted to, based on my editor at Insider said, you know, come up with an expanded universe moment for Darth Vader so we can put it in this Darth Vader tribute magazine. And at the time, Episode 3 had just come out. This was 2005. And
right.
I wanted to come up with a concept that connected the prequel trilogy, which had just ended, and connect that with the classic trilogy. I wanted to connect that with imagery in some way. And then having not seen Revenge of the Sith until just a few months prior, I mean, none of us really, as fans, knew that it was the death of Padme that pushed him into the dark side.
Right.
But once we found out once we found out that that's what happened, you know, once we realized that as fans, we're like, oh my God, you know, like, Vader is such a tragic character. That's when my imagination went to work, and I was like, well, you know, what is he, you know, how can I come up with an image that would connect both trilogies, but also tell a story, maybe tell a scene that, that happens off screen. I mean, what's he doing in that meditation chamber? Like, as he's rejuvenating, you know, he's obviously thinking about something. And I thought, well, he's going to be thinking about his dead wife. I mean, that's the only time where he can probably totally just be himself,
right,
in that little isolation pod when he's not being bothered by the Emperor or Admiral Ozzel or any of those guys. So he can actually,
Anakin at that point. Yeah.
Right. We get to see him as both Anakin and Vader.
Yeah.
We get to see that a little bit more of an intimate view of the character. So as a Star Wars fan, I enjoy that too. Like, I enjoy those scenes just like you do, Johnny. Where,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. They tell a story, and Vader's my favorite character. So when I get those chances to show maybe an intimate or just a moment that has never been seen before, or maybe never even been imagined before, but,
right,
or maybe it was imagined, but no one's just really seen it done correctly or at all. And yeah, that's kind of where I love illustrating, and I know Brian does too, because we get to do this in our artwork. So we love illustrating those kind of special expanded universe moments.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's, and I mean, it's throughout your art, you know, not even just all the Star Wars art, but the other art too, where there's stuff where you're like, well, there's a story there, you know, it's like you see stuff and you're literally like, there's a story behind the art. It's like, it's not just put Darth Vader on a page for me. It's like you're right. You can tell that you're thinking about it, and it's not just, oh, just draw Vader, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Brian and I can do really cool pinups all day. And sometimes we do sometimes. And in a way, the propaganda art is kind of like our pinup art, I
right.
would say. But Brian and I, because we work in comic books and we're traditionally trained illustrators, and I can probably speak for Brian on this, like, I view us as storytellers. We're not just pinup artists. We're not the guys at Comic-Cons that do, like, well, I'm going to draw your favorite character from this TV show, and I know you're going to buy this art because it's your favorite character.
Right.
It's like, no, we like doing artwork because we want to tell a story. You know, we want to put emotion and feeling and context in our artwork.
Yeah.
Even in the propaganda art, I think we're pushing some context when we can. So, you know, so I mean, pinups are cool and all, but you know, we can bang those out all day, but we are more interested in sort of furthering the saga, you know, of Star Wars and telling these stories. And even if it's just one illustration, it's still storytelling.
Well, right. And it's the same thing.
It can share a moment.
Go ahead, Brian.
It can share a moment and create a connection in a way that's really magical, because like you were saying, Joe, I mean, when you can tell a story in one image and someone else can recognize that story and understand what it is that you're trying to convey, just like with Darth Vader and his vision of Padme, I mean, everybody who's seen the films gets that and understands that. And so it immediately becomes this shared connection between you and the audience, and with the audience and each other. And it's just so much more powerful that way as a story, as a shared moment, than if it's just an illustration. So it's one of those rare instances where the illustrator and the artwork can bridge the gap between the movies or between the fans themselves and create something that has a little bit more of an emotional meaning to the viewer. And I think that's what has, you know, with Joe and maybe to a lesser extent myself, grown the fan base and created the demand, because, you know, there's amazing, amazing, talented artists out there. And hopefully the way that we've been able to single ourselves out a little bit is to be able to share our love for Star Wars and the characters and the universe with those fans through the storytelling skills that we're bringing to our artwork. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, in my head, you know, as getting older and being an older Star Wars fan now, you know, I've been a fan since the first movie came out, you know, and yeah, it's like you like to see this stuff? Because I know as a kid, I was inspired by the coloring books to draw pictures of the characters and, you know, books and magazines with all Star Wars stuff, and it made you inspired. And it's like your art inspires the imagination for an artist and for writers, because it's like, you know, you're creating stories, and it's like I said, you look at certain pictures and you go, what was happening at that moment in their head? And you're like, you know, everybody has a different story for it.
I've always wondered, like with Obi-Wan, when he puts the like the blade up and he's like, oh God, I hope this works. Oh God, I hope this works. Yeah. Oh God, I hope this works. As you know, you know, it's like, did I do this right? Oh God, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I just said I'm going to become more powerful.
Be right about this.
Yeah, I just said I'm going to become more powerful, and that's a really big statement. Can I live up to it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you know, like my favorite character is R2-D2, and I feel like he's a, like in the overall scheme of artwork, he's probably underappreciated a little
bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So if you guys could do a little more R2 work, that would be great. And you know, I will definitely speak with my wallet on that one. So,
well, and you look at R2. R2's like the storyteller.
Sorry, Joe.
Well, no, I was just gonna say I do have that one.
Yeah.
R2-D2 pinup piece that Brian and I did for a Star Wars exhibit.
Where
science meets imagination. Mm-hmm. So that's like my one R2-D2 piece, and it's all R2-D2, and he's huge in the print. So it's like, I don't know how many more R2-D2 centric prints can bang out. But
if you look back, nothing cool happens without R2-D2. Like none of the good stuff.
Right. Well,
he's the catalyst for like everything.
R2's there from the beginning, and he's still there. Yeah. I mean, so it's like he's
he's the chosen.
Oh, I love him.
R2's the
chosen one. I mean, let's not mince words about it. He's the chosen one. It's not Luke.
Yeah, he is. So. He saves everyone all the time.
Yeah,
but well, I mean,
I don't know. I was going to ask. We know Joe's favorite character is Vader.
Yeah,
Vader. Brian, what's your favorite character?
Oh man, that's tough. I get asked this all the time, and I never have a good answer.
Pink Chewbacca.
Vader is definitely up there, and he's one of my favorite ones to illustrate. But you know, I like the oddball characters. So, you know, like IG-88, Bobot, Honda Pava, and stuff like that. I mean, I really all the sort of like weirdos of the Star Wars universe are some of the characters that I'm drawn to, and that I try to sneak into artwork when I can, or maybe I'll pitch it with that character and they'll be like, okay, lose IG-88, his need be in there, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm always looking
wait
for
a minute, are you
to,
seeing IG-88 in The Last Jedi?
He is The Last Jedi.
Oh wow.
Did you say Lobot?
Joe, no, we're totally fired now. Yeah.
We have to sneak it out. Brian, did you say Lobot was one of your favorites?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like all those.
He all had those such an awesome arc in the Lando comic.
Yeah.
That came out. So that's when you said that, it's like I just immediately went to the Lando comic. So that's cool.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess instead of one character, I'll just say that like it's, to me, that's what makes the Star Wars universe cool, is all the like crazy oddball side characters that give it, it's like the spice in the Star Wars stew, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like Rogue One was a movie where they brought background characters into the foreground, and that's why it was so good, was because it's people that you wouldn't normally see a story about, and we got a story about a bunch of rebels that, you know, aren't on the radar usually. Usually they're Gold One and Blue Two and all that type of stuff. So yeah, that's fun. I like the background characters. The Star Wars Tales that Dark Horse published, and that they published a few novelizations, short story novelizations, were some of the best stuff for like the background characters, I think.
Right. Yeah, I remember this book.
Yeah.
I think some of the like bounty hunters and stuff too are cool, and it's nice to have seen those characters have a resurgence in like the comics and Rebels and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's almost like as the fans, as we grow up and become some of the people who are now involved in the storytelling and different aspects of it. It's like we finally get to have our little fantasies when we were kids. And we're like, okay, now we're going to take this character and this character and put them in this situation.
Right, yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, definitely, because, like, I mean, besides IG-88, to me, Dengar was always one where I was like, why is that guy, you know, why does he look the way he looks? And that, and it's like, you know, they've told stories about him where I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And it's like, you know, now we know why he has a mat on for Han Solo. And it's like, that's part of Legends now, but, you know, it's still one of those things where it was a cool idea that Han Solo was the one that made him the way he is. And that, so yeah, definitely that's a cool thing, and it's cool, yeah, like you said, that the people who were inspired as kids are now the ones writing the stories and doing the art, and it's like, let's just use IG-88 and see what happens. And
well, know. I feel like we, like Johnny and I, were pretty lucky because we grew up in Cincinnati with Kenner, with all the, you know, the prototype Star Wars figures that floated around when we were kids.
Yep,
that we got to see and play with and imagine with, and you know. You guys get to take it a step further and, you know, tell one panel stories that are rich and vibrant and, yep. you know, beautiful. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the perks of being a fan ever since we were kids. For me personally, like, yeah, it's like every time I work on a Star Wars project, I feel like I'm, you know, that 4 or 5 year old kid who had just seen Star Wars for the first time. And I'm sitting there drawing, and my imagination's going crazy, and I'm getting to work with these really amazing characters. So it's to be able to do that on an official level and add to the saga, whether it's like a one illustration for a propaganda poster, or whether it's an illustration in a book, or whether it's a comic book, or a series of magazine illustrations, or trading cards, or, you know, what all the different licensing artwork that we do. I mean, it's just like adding that little bit, like that little, our little stamp, you know, as small as it is, it's we're sort of furthering the story, you know, and it's a really cool, for me personally, it's a very cool, exciting feeling.
Yep. I agree. I agree totally.
All right. Well, if you guys, I don't know, like, I feel like we've taken up a lot of your time and we learned a lot, and like, I'm sitting here and I love listening to you guys talk about this stuff. Where can, I guess, Brian first, where can people find you online?
Well, again, anybody can go to masterdigitalcolor.com and they'll see all about Joe's Star Wars Celebration exclusive and mine as well. And then I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me by searching Octopolis, and I'm sure you guys will have links in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll link
that.
It all.
So follow me on social media, and I always give sneak peeks of the artwork that I'm working on and shout out when it's available. And, you know, with Joe and I, a lot of our artwork sells out. So if you follow us online, you'll usually get to hear about it first. And sometimes that extra 24 hours can be the difference between getting your hands on something and not. So, you know, definitely follow us. And if you follow me, I always make sure to follow you back as well.
Cool.
All right, cool.
And Joe?
Yeah, same thing. People can, if they go to joecarney.com, which is my official site, all of my social media is there. So joecarney.com will take you to my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, my online art store, where if you don't go to masterdigital.com, you can also go to joecarney.com, and you'll see the link for pre-order on my homepage. You won't be able to miss it for our celebration prints. And then you can also go directly to my art store online and pre-order my new Star Wars Celebration artwork there. Or you can order, I have lots of artwork there from Star Trek and X-Files and whatnot. Be sure to just follow us online and keep tabs, because we got a lot of things in the works for Celebration coming up here in a few weeks. So if you follow us online, you might get a heads up on some of the things we've got planned, or if you actually think of they listen to this podcast, if it airs before Celebration, hopefully
it will.
We'll get a few heads up on things. Definitely. And I usually give follow backs too. We look forward to seeing everyone at Celebration coming up.
Awesome. Any last words?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate your time, and the stories have been great. And, you know, good luck at Celebration.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was really fun.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so that was our talk with Joe Caroni and Brian Miller.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Definitely.
It was educational as well.
They usually blow my mind. I mean, Joe, just talking to Joe at conventions and that blows my mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, when you get them on a roll and, you know, they've been working together so long that it definitely is a bonus.
They
have
a language all their own, which was fun. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that. We definitely enjoyed it. If nothing else, we enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
All right. So we're the Infamous Podcast, but you already know that at this point. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/infamouspodcast or infamouspodcast.com. And on social networks, we're just Infamous Podcast, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Real easy to find us. Johnny, where can they find you online?
Twitter and Instagram, Johnny Podorf. Pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm Brian Tudor on most social networks. One last thing, we don't really ask for this a lot anymore, but if you like what you heard in this episode, definitely run over to iTunes and give us that 5-star review.
Yeah.
And let us know if you want to hear more interviews like this.
Right.
And who you'd like us to talk to. So just give us 5 stars and then let us know who you want us to interview next, and we will try and make it happen.
Yep, and look for all of Joe and Brian's and Star Wars Celebration's links will be in the show notes. So, you know, check that out, and, you know, you can link up to them too.
And just
let them know, like, you know, if you listen to this, let them know where you heard them at.
Yeah.
And that, that way they know that their people are listening to them.
Awesome. All right, guys, have a great day, night, evening, weekend. Whether you're here or in a galaxy far, far away.
Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.